thousands of schools around the country, including those in Arizona, didn't have full-time on-campus learning through much of the pandemic. They had at-home learning and a hybrid system. But for the schools that did open their classrooms to students, even as COVID-19 cases were expanding, there had to be ways to properly and safely conduct on-site testing. The RAND Corporation has released a report on what those districts learned and what schools that are opening now could take from those lessons. Dr. Laura Faherty is a physician policy researcher at RAND, and she's with me. Dr. Faherty, what actually worked for those schools that conducted regular testing?
Testing approaches across the country really varied widely in the fall semester of 2020. So there wasn't any one model or testing program that was more or less effective. It all came down to what the school or district felt were priorities in their local community, what their school community wanted from the testing, and then what resources and supports and partnerships were available to help them launch a really complex task and get it off the ground in a way that they'd really never had to do before.
And considering there were so many schools across the country that didn't even try, what other things really stood out about the schools or districts that did try? Are there other ways to examine what those schools or districts had in common or why they decided to give it a try?
So we found a few overarching themes from speaking with, you know, nearly 80 leaders of schools and districts and states. And the people that we interviewed found COVID testing to be quite difficult, but very doable. And they nearly all of them said that testing was very worth it for them. But they said it was really important for others to understand that to make testing actually possible, especially in districts where there are fewer resources and more disadvantaged, schools need a lot of support to launch a successful testing program.
Well, and what sort of support are we talking about? Do we need technical, financial, all of the above?
Well, the exact details of different testing programs really vary widely. You can think about what schools need in four big buckets. And the first one is what we call in public health, the space, staff, stuff, and systems bucket. So you need space to set up your testing site, either at or near a school, and you need trained staff to administer the tests or help children self-administer. You need the tests themselves and the personal protective equipment, and then you need systems in place to help you track all the tests you're doing and report them correctly. The second big bucket that schools need to successfully launch testing programs is partnerships. And I can't emphasize enough how many schools and districts said to us that we just couldn't imagine doing testing without our partners. And those partners included things like local public health agencies and academic institutions or health systems, actually their peers. So schools learned a lot from other districts and schools like them that were trying to launch testing and share best practices. And then another really effective partnership was with vendors that handled all of the really complicated logistics from start to finish, so schools didn't have to. I would say the third thing that schools need is strong engagement of their school communities. So this is the classic, if you build it, will it come problem.
Right.
And engagement has to be, you know, a priority from the very beginning, even when a school or district is considering designing its testing program. Kind of last bucket is a really big one. So schools need support from local, state, and national levels. And that comes in the form of funding, of course, really good technical assistance, more general guidance, and then policies that actually enable them to integrate testing into their response plans. So for example, we heard from district leaders that new questions came up almost daily about issues they were seeing in their testing programs. And we heard them say things like, there's just no autopilot with this. So schools need really on-demand and real-time support. They told us that it was almost like running a medical clinic and a school simultaneously. And I'll just also say that since we conducted our interviews, which was back in December of 2020, CDC has actually released additional guidance on how to safely reopen schools.
As we're going to have more and more schools going forward and moving away from what has been either an at-home or a hybrid model, I imagine there is a lot of information that many, many hundreds and thousands of schools are going to benefit from what these early adopters tried.
That's exactly right. I think the early adopters really want other schools to see from their experiences that this is not easy, but that this is possible, and that there are many benefits to integrating testing into larger COVID response plans. So for example, schools and districts that we spoke with really highlighted how much testing was able to lessen the anxiety of the staff, of parents, of students themselves, to know that this was one more layer of protection. And they also really appreciated that testing helped them find and identify asymptomatic cases, so people who didn't yet have symptoms or would never develop symptoms, and make sure that they did not spread COVID to others. And finally, they really found that testing actually helped remind their school community members to practice all of the precautions that they needed to practice both inside and outside of the school setting. When they knew that a testing day was coming up, it was a nice reminder to adhere to all of those really important safety measures.
Is there a certain amount of time, is there a certain amount of effort that's going to be needed to get the schools to a certain level where this sort of testing can be effective and make a lot of sense?
So for the early adopters of testing, and again, these are the schools and districts that were really the first ones that were trying to do this back as early as August of 2020 through about December 2020, were really learning a lot as they went. There were steep learning curves. They were figuring things out as they went along and working out a lot of the kinks in the process through kind of slowly ramping up through pilots and smaller scale testing. And I think that's a really nice lesson for others in that there's a lot of benefit to kind of start slowly, make sure you listen to your community to find out what the concerns are and how they would like the testing program to be designed, and then gradually expand, work out the logistics, really successfully get testing off the ground and grow from there. What's nice though is that in our report, we highlight several different schools and districts all across the country in different settings that are trying different testing models, from saliva-based testing to nasal swabs, for take-home samples to testing on school campus, to really help schools and districts try to see themselves in these examples and think, what would work in my setting? Because there's not going to be one kind of single approach that will work well for every single school and district out there. So it's really important to kind of have the flexibility to tailor a testing approach to the needs of a particular community, as well as kind of what the leadership and the school community together think will work for them.
That is Dr. Laura Faherty, physician policy researcher at the RAND Corporation. Dr. Faherty, thanks very much for the time today.
Thank you for having me.